بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about the issue of congruence and the issue of yaqeen. I remember one of the quotes from the Bible. We don't quote from the Bible because we consider it to be correct. We quote only to show that even those who changed the kalam of Allah could not change certain things. And those things are witness for what they did. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to give the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the attention and the importance that it deserves. In the Bible, this quote, Isa alayhi salam is reported to have said, it says, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know, mustard seed is particularly small, very, very small. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, he's pointing to a tree, he's saying, you say to this tree, get up from here and go and plant yourself in the sea. Be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. In another quote, he is reported to have said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move, and it will obey you. The issue here is not whether the faith is the size of a mustard seed or the size of a walnut or the size of a coconut. It's not a question of the quantity of faith, but it's a question of two things. One is whether you have it or not, and second is, what is the quality of this faith? What is the symbol of this faith? In my view, the symbol of faith is whether you wake up for Fajr. It's as simple as that. If your faith cannot wake you up for Salatul Fajr, and if it cannot take you to the masjid for Salatul Fajr, then you have no faith. Take my word for it, you have no faith. And you will discover that when you go into your qabr. As simple as that. This is the essence of congruence. Now, faith is different from belief. Faith is the result of belief. Faith is the result of genuine belief. To give you an example, if I believe that my seat belt is important for my safety, that it can save my life, I will wear it. And not only will I wear it, I will feel relaxed and I will feel secure when I wear it. So, if I say seat belts are good for safety, but I'm not wearing the seat belt, then what does it mean? Do I have faith? Maybe at an intellectual level, I have understood the importance of seat belts. Maybe I saw a few videos of what happens if you don't wear a seat belt and so on. But I really do not believe in this seat belt. I don't believe that that technology is helpful. Because if I really had faith in that, then I would be wearing the seat belt. I mean, nobody, this is a, you can't go against this logic. So how is it that we say we have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't pray? How is this possible? And second thing is that if we are wearing the seat belt, it's not just a mechanical wearing of the seat belt. Once you wear the seat belt, I mean, the thing is that we have got into this way of living our lives as if we are automated, as if we are, you know, robots. we must be conscious, every action that we do, we must be conscious of this action. So if you are wearing the seatbelt, be conscious of it and say, what am I feeling now? I'll guarantee you, you will feel secure and relaxed. Okay, I have now my seatbelt, I can relax, I can go to sleep in the, if I'm not driving. So there is a feeling that comes with it. The question is, when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the feeling? For a lot of us, the feeling is, this is something to do. Maybe you won't call it a nuisance because of, out of adab, but that's what you feel. This is a nuisance. I have to get up. Otherwise, I would have woken up nicely at 8 o'clock in the morning. I would have slept straight from whatever time I was sleeping. And I would have got my 8 hours of sleep throughout. But now I have to get up at 5 o'clock. So it's a nuisance. I mean, I'm saying you may not say that in so many words. But ask yourself, is that what you feel or what? And if that is the case, then even if you are getting up for Fajr, I'm not giving fatwas here, I'm just asking this question, ask yourself this question. Even if you are getting up for Fajr, do you still have faith or not? One is not getting up at all. But the other one is, even if you are getting up, and then you get up with this feeling of, oh my God, this is a burden, I could, let me go dump it and come back. Then, do you still have faith? And I'm saying Fajr only as an example. The same thing applies to every salah. It applies to every action that is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now people get mixed up and they use these two words, faith and belief, interchangeably. They are not synonymous. They are cause and effect. Two separate but related things. You know, the first time I went rappelling. Rappelling is when you go off a cliff on a rope. So we were standing on top of in Maharashtra in near Pune. We were standing on top of this fort, one of Shivaji's forts, on top of the right on top, and Simagarh. The name of the fort is Simagarh, on Simagarh fort. And this instructor is explaining to us the whole issue of rappelling. Now he is. He put me in a harness, and the harness is attached to a rope, and this rope is again anchored somewhere, and somebody is holding it. And he is explaining, he is saying that this rope is strong enough to take the weight of so many kilograms, and he says that is equivalent to the weight of 5 buffaloes. Right? So I know I'm not that heavy. So the issue of this rope breaking doesn't arise. There is no way the rope is going to break. And then, of course, there's the rope that I am given to actually rappel with. And so I'm using that rope. This is only a safety. So at that point in time, it's a state of belief. Do I believe this instructor or not? If I don't believe the instructor, I will not rappel. I will simply not do it at all. I will take that harness off and I will say, go to hell, I'm not doing this. But if I do have belief in this guy, what he's saying, when does this belief transfer to faith? For me, the belief transferred to faith when I then got on top of the battlement and I took a step into space. Now, below me, maybe almost 500-600 feet below me are rocks. So, if I fall, then I have to be scraped off that. I don't think I would have been able to be lifted off that. But when I step off into thin air, then what happens? Then my own rappelling rope I am using, I have understood how the thing works, and there is this fantastic sense of freedom and control. And I can lower myself and I can climb back up using my rope. And of course, my safety harness and the safety rope is attached. So, when I am doing that rappelling, the belief therefore is to believe what the instructor tells you about the rope. And faith is to walk off the cliff into thin air. Only then can you enjoy the feeling of freedom as you hang secure above the rocks. Now, this is the difference between belief and faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to have faith. The finest example of faith that I can ever possibly give is the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he has been tied up and he has zero resources, he has no power to help himself in any way. He is completely trussed up like a chicken. He is put into the cup of the onaga, and he is going to be catapulted into the fire. Now he can see the fire. It's a huge fire. People can't go near it. They need a siege engine to throw him into the fire, right? And you can imagine this whole scene, because siege engines first have to get the fire a few shots before they get the range. So they have to be ranged properly. So you can imagine that Ibrahim alayhi salam, this huge crowd of people has gathered there. The king is also there. Ibrahim alayhi salam is being taken there. He is confined. He is, he's arrested. So he is tied up. And maybe he is seeing these people getting the range of the machine. And then he is tied up, trussed up, put into this, into the cup of this thing. He is about to be shot into the flames. And you can imagine what is going to happen. So here is Ibrahim alayhi salam, who has no worldly resources and no worldly power at all. The only thing that he can do there is breathe, nothing else. At that point in time, Ibrahim alayhi salam's worldly resources and worldly power is zero. Today we are very concerned about our worldly power. We are talking about, this political sort of arrangements we want to make, and how can we get political strength, and how can we get political power, and so on and so forth, and we forget where the actual power comes from. So here Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah is giving us an example. Ibrahim alayhi salam has got zero worldly power. He's got nothing, absolutely nothing. And at that time Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him and says, tell me, what can I do for you? How can I help you? My friend Ibrahim, tell me, how can I help you? And Ibrahim alayhi salam says to Jibreel alayhi salam, you can't help me, nobody can help me. Tell me what to do, I won't tell you. Jibreel alayhi salam goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is happening, he is seeing what is happening. He asks, he tells him, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, your Khalil is about to be vaporized, literally burnt. I went to him, I asked him, he is not telling me anything, he is not asking me anything. What shall I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to him and tell him, I sent you. Jibreel alayhi salam, even the first time Allah sent him, because the malaika don't do anything on their own. Allah says, tell him that I sent you and I want to know what does he want from me. Jibreel alayhi salam comes back to him. He says, I have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and your Rabb is asking, what do you need from him? What do you want from him? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, my Rabb does not need to ask. Ajib. My Rabb does not need to ask. Ajib only because my level of faith is that much. Otherwise, it's not ajib. My Rabb does not need to ask. What do you want from me? Allah says, what do you want from me? Ibrahim alayhi salam's answer is, I want whatever you want. So you don't have to ask me. Whatever you want is what I want. You want me to burn? I'm ready to burn. You want to save me? Save me. So when the abd removed ghairullah from between himself and Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addressed the fire. Now no Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah did not tell Jibreel alayhi salam, now you go do this. No. Allah directly addressed the fire. Allah spoke to the fire. Allah ordered the fire and said, Ya Nar, Qulna Ya Naru Kuni Bardan wa Salaman ala Ibrahim. Directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the fire. Why? Why must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu Rabbul Alameen speak to that fire, I mean, the fire is big for us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the fire? The whole earth is less than a grain of sand on the beach. What is the fire on this earth? This is the izaz, this is the ikram of Khalilullah. Because he removed all asbab from between himself and the musabbibul asbab. The musabbibul asbab directly orders the sabab to become a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah did not put out the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show his qudrat. Allah did not put out the fire. Allah does not have to put out the fire to save Ibrahim. Allah says the fire itself will save Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fire turned into a garden. Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed in that fire for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, and he walked out of there with his bonds, the rope which tied him had been burnt, because the rope was not part of this instruction. Only Ibrahim alayhi salam was part of the instruction. So the rope burnt, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not burn. The power of the fire to burn was not taken away. Only to burn Ibrahim was taken away alayhi salam. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And this is the meaning of faith. We have to ask ourselves, what is the level of my faith? Because one day when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the question for every single one of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have this congruence of belief and action which brings about faith. Belief, action brings faith. We believe La ilaha illallah. The action is we do ibadat of Allah, meaning we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which creates faith. Belief, action and faith. This is the sequence. Without the action, there is no faith. You can believe, you can talk about belief till the cows come home, nothing will happen. Belief, action. I believe that the rope has the strength to save me. The action is I walk off the cliff. The faith comes when I take that action. And then I enjoy that experience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to have complete and total yaqeen in Him and His power and His glory and His majesty, and to live our lives in complete and total obedience to Him and no disobedience. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmat.